Our readings this morning, our Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 3, and it's entitled Moses and the Burning Bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And with this there will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. And our New Testament reading is from John chapter 8, and it is entitled, The Claims of Jesus About Himself. The Jews answered him, Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? I am not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honour my Father, and you dishonour me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. At this the Jews exclaimed, Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus replied, If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. The Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abram rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abram? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. And so, eternal God, as we come now to reflect on your word that we've heard read, pray that you would help us in our understanding. Grant us your Holy Spirit, we pray, and help us to respond to your word appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen. Just to follow on a bit from what Adam was saying, yes, I think most parents spend some time thinking about names of their children. And for us, it was the case when Rachel was born. If it was a daughter, it was always going to be Rachel that we were going to use as a name, because Darren's grandmother had died just some time previously, and we were always going to name her after her. We were also thinking of a second name, as Adam was talking about having a German name. We were also thinking about having a South African name. We were going to have a second name for Rachel as Tandewe, but we decided that would be too difficult, so we named her after my grandmother, Anne, and my mother. So it was, she had Rachel Anne. Same with Nathan. We thought a bit more about what we were going to call Nathan, and Nathan simply means gift of God. And so that was always going to be the case if we had a boy. And for your information, Robin means famous or bright. I'll just leave that one there then, that's fine. But names are important, as we've thought about. And it was believed that names reflected something about your character, or something about your relationship or position. For example, in Jewish culture, and the Fullertons will be glad I'm mentioning this, Ben is an important name, because Ben in Jewish culture literally means son of. So there's a lot of Bens in Jewish culture. But we obviously associate names, don't we? I don't tend to baptize many Jezebels or Judases or Adolfs. So we associate names with those who have gone before. So we come to this story where God's name is revealed. Moses wants to know, what is he going to tell the Israelite people the name of this God? I love the story about in a class, the teacher asked as to what you would call God. And one little boy put his hand up and says, I know the answer to this. The answer is Harold. And the teacher was confused by this and asked the boy why we should call God Harold. And the little boy went on to misquote the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, Harold be thy name. Doesn't get any better, don't worry. But the Israelites had many gods, and Moses wanted to know what to say to the Israelites about what to call their God. Having been raised in Egypt as the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, Moses would have been familiar with the names of dozens of gods like Ra and Anubis. Having fled to Midian and raised sheep there for many years, Moses would have known the names of the Canaanite gods like Baal and Asherah. And each of these foreign gods had a particular name and was associated with a particular domain. For example, Ra was the god of the sun, Baal was the god of war, and so on. So we come to this dialogue between Moses and God. Moses says, if I now come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they're going to ask me, what's this God's name? What am I supposed to say to them? And then we come to this incredible response from the Lord He simply says, I am who I am. Now, prior to this moment with Moses, the Israelites called God Elohim or El, because this was just a generic title, not a personal name. Sometimes they might have referred to God as El Shaddai, often translated as God Almighty. But this response sets God apart from the foreign gods the people may have known. This God isn't limited to a first name or a particular domain. This God isn't created by human hands or named by human language. The verb I am comes from the Hebrew verb to be or to exist. So God was declaring that he is self-existent, eternal, self-sufficient, self-directed, unchanging. But the Hebrew word for this most important name of God is spelled with four simple consonants, YHWH. And now, you may not be aware of this. I don't know how many Hebrew scholars we've got in the church. But there aren't actually vowels in the Hebrew language. What they have is vowel points that they put in so to make a word, and they can put a word together for pronunciation. So we have the pronunciation of Yahweh. We can't even be guaranteed that that is absolutely correct, because, as I say, the Hebrew vocabulary doesn't have vowels, only consonants. But it didn't matter to Jews anyway. They wouldn't have said this holy name of God for fear that they would actually use it in vain. So they actually used a derivation of it, and they used Jehovah instead of Yahweh. But enough for that at the moment. Let's fast forward then to the first century and to Jesus. Of course, the reason why the religious leaders were so upset and angered by Jesus was because he took this holy, eternal, unchangeable name of God. In those words in verse 58 in John 8, we read, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am. Now, this was an incredible statement to make. He knew that this would anger the religious leaders, but he was stating his eternal nature as God now come in flesh. To them, of course, he was nothing more than a blasphemer. He was therefore worthy of death by stoning as per the Jewish law. Because obviously, if Jesus were only a human like everybody else, then of course he couldn't have existed before Abraham. So in saying this, Jesus is clearly stating that he is eternal. It's no accident that in John's gospel we read of the seven other I am sayings of Jesus. Because Jesus said of himself, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. So Jesus was declaring himself to be the embodiment of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Last week we looked at Peter's declaration of Jesus, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And so Jesus was making it clear to those who had ears to hear that he was and is and always will be God. As we reflect on the name by which God wants to be known, why is it significant? What relevance does it have for us? How does it impact on how we engage with this life and all that there is around us? There's much I could say about this, but I'm going to limit myself to two simple and short responses. The first thing I want to say is that it impacts our worldview. Whether we are aware of it or not, we all look at this world and this life through a certain lens. Some of us wear glasses to see more clearly. We all look at life through certain lenses. None of us are truly neutral, because all of us have biases and baggage that shapes who we are and our perspectives. So for us as Christians, our worldview is shaped by our understanding of who God is, revealed in his name to Moses, and of course revealed in the person of his son, Jesus. Our worldview leads us to acknowledge God as creator of the universe, revealed in Jesus, who came as Lord and Savior, who has established a kingdom in which all of humanity can flourish and thrive. And we have that worldview because of God's name. He is eternal, not bound by time and space as we are. Our place in the world and how we interact in this world is shaped by our belief in this God who we believe made heaven and earth and everything in the universe. But God is not dependent on anyone, but is fully self-sufficient. Our understanding of who God is contained in his name. That's why in the middle of a pandemic, our trust remains in God. That we believe that God is with us in the midst of all that we experience, that he is with everyone in the midst of all their pain and their suffering, their anguish and their confusion. And we believe that he is in the process of making all things new. That we are moving towards a time when Jesus returns to earth to finally put everything right. That is all shaped by our belief in who God is as revealed in his name as the one who is eternal, all-powerful and ever-present. And because this shapes our worldview, it therefore impacts and directs our worship, which is the second thing I want us to note. For this all-powerful, ever-present, eternal God alone is worthy of our praise. God alone is glorified throughout the earth. We offer to him our worship, though it be poor and so often self-centered. God's name reveals his character as eternally faithful. He has revealed himself as the one true living God, a father of tender-hearted love and grace, a God who is willing to show mercy and forgive, a God who is always with us regardless of our circumstances. So when we offer our worship to God, however poor it may be, it is always our humble prayer that it would be made acceptable to him. So understanding God's name shapes our worship of God. But let me bring this to a close with a final thought. On the 9th of March 2019, the Guinness World Records named the world's oldest living person as a woman from Japan called Kane Tanaka. And she was born on the 2nd of January 1903, making her 117 years and 241 days old. 117 years old. Now, when we think how incredible it is for a person to live that long, because we know that life is fragile and relatively short in the greater scheme of things, it then helps us to appreciate more that God is from everlasting to everlasting, the one who is beyond time and space. The great I am who I am, Yahweh. And this eternal God calls us into a relationship with him, and not only to worship him, but to follow him and to serve him in the world. Amen. Let's pray together. So, Almighty God, Yahweh, the one who is eternal, we worship you. We thank you that we see everything through that lens, declaring that you alone are God. Lord, as we understand a bit more about your nature, and as we're reminded a bit more about your nature, help that to impact how we see the world, how we see life, and help it to impact our worship of you. For the glory of your name. Amen.